Let's take our Bibles and look together in Matthew chapter 7. My text for this message is going to be verse 1 down to verse 6. And I've entitled this message, Walking in Humility. The Bible tells us that the grace of God humbles sinners before Him and before their fellow man. Mere knowledge puffs up. People can have a knowledge of even the gospel of grace and be proud of it, but that's not how the grace of God works in the heart. In fact, the Bible tells us that if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows not as he ought. So here we continue our study of Christ's teachings to his disciples or to his church. And our desire is that his word, where we see the word, it's the word of Christ, that indeed it humble our hearts before him. So this is why our Lord says here in Matthew 7 and verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged. In other words, we're not to look down our nose at another sinner and think ourselves better than that sinner. That's judging. So verse 2, he says, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again. The sin of pride resides in our hearts, even as children of God that he has redeemed and justified. It's part of our sin nature. This is why we need the grace of God to continually teach us who we are and not look at others for who they are, but who we are as sinners. That's why our Lord says in verse 3, why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? A mote would be a little speck. So it's like you're looking at somebody else's life and you go, ah, see, there's a problem. They're having a sin in their life, when in reality, You're not even considering the beam, and that word means a plank, a big board in your own eye. We're not to go around inspecting other people's sins or failures. We have enough of our own. There are some people like that that think they're God's gift to others to be able to straighten them out and to go and see if they can fix other people when they themselves need to be fixed. You see a lot of this attitude in congregations and places where there's works religion because everybody's comparing themselves with one another. Now we look to Christ alone by his grace and acknowledge that we're nothing but sinners. Verse 4 says, or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote or the speck out of thine eye, and behold, a beam or a plank is in thine own. You see the word or language that the Lord uses there in verse 5, thou hypocrite. That word means to be an actor. You're just acting. You're not living according to the grace of God. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote or the speck out of thy brother's eye. And then he concludes in verse 6 by saying, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So let's look at these verses that I've just read and see how this teaches those that are the Lord's to walk in humility or in humbleness before the Lord, not in pride. So there are 3 points that I want to bring out here. The first is the difference between judgment and discernment. Here when he says, judge not that ye be not judged, he's not telling us that we're just to ignore other people's faults. In fact, the reason we preach the gospel is that God by his grace may deliver sinners that he has given to his son to save.
Komano pa umuntu zikuzina zokuputa ngani zilatimenekela kumvetsira ndichindu kuti zikutibani.
As we live in the world, we're to be discerning as to the evils and temptations that are all about us and within us. So this is not telling us to be without discernment, but we're not to pass judgment.
Tipavena tiri pachikondo lapansi. Timenekera tizidziwa nyengo, tizidziwa nthawi zimene moyo wa munthu amadutsamo mayesero ni mavuto onse amene amapezeka pa moyo wa munthu. Komano titatha kudziwa tisamalitse, tisamakonde kuweruza, sidayikidwe ngati woweruza ayi.
Remember, these scriptures are all part of Christ's Sermon on the Mount as we continue to study them. We've already seen how he dealt with things of the heart with regard to attitudes in giving or prayer, fasting or material things or anxiety over material things. Those are not to be part of our lives. Certainly, heart matters, or our attitude with regard to our own needs, need to be considered every day and commended to the Lord. But here, now the Lord moves to touch those things that, concerning the way we think of others or treat others. So this command here, judge not that you be not judged, is our Lord warning us against passing judgment on others, because when we do so, it says we are judged ourselves. When you point a finger at somebody else, you've got three pointing back at you. This doesn't mean that we're not to be discerning in our relationship with others, because the scriptures say, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Unless another is one of the Lord's by grace, then there's no fellowship. But that's not judging. But discernment would be considering ourselves and our own weaknesses and sins before we ever open our mouth to condemn somebody else. When you read through the Gospels, there are many different examples of where the disciples, when they observed our Lord, they passed judgment on different ones that he approached. They wondered how it is that he could have anything to do with such. That was passing judgment. They weren't even considering their own selves as being just as sinful. For example, when he was talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, they wondered how it was that he could even be speaking with her. That was passing judgment. But this is why we constantly need the word of Christ. First, to speak to our own heart. When we hear the gospel, we're not to be thinking about other people. I wonder if they're paying attention. I wonder if they're hearing it. No. Am I hearing it? Has this word been brought home to my own heart? That's the question. So when he says, judge not that ye be not judged, he's putting his finger on our heart and what is the tendency of our heart to think worse of others than we do ourselves. When you're tempted to think worse of somebody else, consider your own sin. When we're tempted to speak of other people's faults, consider our own. Whenever we're tempted to think rashly of other people's motives, of why they do what they do, consider how evil our own are. If you're going to set yourself as a judge over others, and sadly, many times in most congregations, that's the way it is. The preacher, the pastor, is the one who is judging others and uses the pulpit to do so without even considering his own sin. There's really only one judge, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. All the rest of us are nothing but guilty sinners, and so our mouths are stopped when we consider who we are before him. But if somebody's going to set themselves up as a judge over other people, Christ is saying here, you'll be judged yourself. That's what he says in verse 2. With what judgment ye judge, just be ready. People are going to throw it back in your face. How many times we've heard some say, and perhaps even ourselves, when we've seen somebody falling in sin, that we say, I can't believe that they actually would do that. Well, mark your words, because given the right time and opportunity, it's going to come back on you. You're going to find yourself in the same situation. Whenever we have a harsh attitude towards somebody else, it's because our standard is wrong. We're using ourselves as the measuring stick rather than seeing ourselves all as guilty and without hope before God. That's why people that judge others, they have different standards depending on who it is. If it's somebody they don't like, they're going to be harsh. Or if it's somebody that's close to them, a friend, well, okay, we're going to let this slide. There's no one standard. And that's why Christ says, you hypocrite.
Andrew, I'm a big up on my career, so I said I would have one to put in on him and get a move up on the more day, no matter what more day. Over your three can chat a good thing, but you were aware of the hand to put the robo.
There's really only one standard by which all of us are judged, and that's the holiness and justice of God. And if our sins have not been put away by the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, then that's all we're going to know is his judgment and condemnation. So we really have no room for boasting that before a holy God, were he to mark our iniquities, who could stand, is the way it's put in Psalm 130. That's why the Lord says there in verse 2 of my text, Matthew 7, second part, with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again. The Lord's saying there simply that if you want to judge other people based on their works, then that's exactly how God will judge you, that you'll stand before him and that your works will find you guilty. I don't want God to judge me according to my works, because I know if he does, then I'd be condemned. I want to stand in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ alone, because in him is God's love and forgiveness and goodness. And if I am one of those that he has been merciful to, then how can I judge others because of their evil or their works? They are what they are because they're sinners. But my prayer is that God might be merciful to them even as he has been to me. This is why, as sinners, we're not good judges, because we have two measures On the one hand, if it's somebody that we don't like, we're going to measure out justice. And on the other hand, if it's somebody that we do like, well, we're going to measure out mercy. That's not how God does it. There aren't two measures by which God deals with sinners. Either he condemns them in his justice without mercy because they're sinners, or he deals with them in mercy because his justice has been satisfied by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we benefit from God's mercy. It's because that justice has been satisfied. He's not dealing one way with one, one way, another way with another. If we're tempted to judge another's behavior or motive, and we're mindful of the fact that we ourselves were God to judge us by that same standard, we could not stand. And that's what causes us to hold our tongue and to not judge as we would otherwise.
So
that's the first point, the difference between judging and discernment. How we need discernment to consider ourselves first before we ever judge another. The second point to bring out here is in verses 3-5. We have an illustration of how the Lord teaches with regarding judging. That's why I love our Lord's teaching, because he'll take an illustration out of life to teach a truth concerning himself. And here it has to do with finding a speck in somebody else's eye. When you're looking at somebody else, you see something in that eye, a speck, and you begin to remark about it or talk about it. If we live long enough in life, we're all going to have a speck in our eye. A piece of dirt gets in there, or maybe a bug, or even part of an eyelash will get into your eye and it begins to bother you. And someone might look at it and say, "Do you realize you've got something in your eye?"
So
If you wanted to pass your time that way, you could just keep going around and keep looking at people's eyes, looking for people to have a speck in there or some fault, and talking to them about it and saying, oh, did you know you have a speck in your eye? Do you know you have this fault or that fault? But here now, Christ being the master teacher, he uses exaggeration to bring home a point when he says there in verse 3, why beholdest thou the mote or the speck that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam? You think about a beam, a big plank that's used to uphold a roof. You don't even consider the board that is in your own eye. It's a humorous picture because you can envision a man with a big board in his eye trying to help a friend remove a speck from his eye. That just, it makes you chuckle even to think about it. But an example of looking for a speck in the eye of another person while ignoring the plank that is in your own eye would be, for example, when the religious leaders brought that woman taken in adultery to Jesus. Yes, she had certainly sinned, but their sin was much worse because of their self-righteousness, and our Lord exposed it as such when he told them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw first the stone. That's in John chapter 8 and verse 7. This doesn't mean that we're to ignore sin because it is grievous before the Lord. But whenever somebody else is overtaken in a fall, we're to consider ourselves first in our own need before we ever speak a word to them. This is what Paul taught the Galatians in Galatians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 3. He says in Galatians 6, 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, notice what it says. It doesn't say condemn such a one, but restore such an one, how? In the spirit of meekness, Doing what? Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Had those Pharisees had the Spirit of Christ in them, they would have said to that woman, let's go to Christ, and may he be merciful to you and to us, because we're just as guilty as you are. In Galatians 6:2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens. What are those burdens? Well, the same thing that others suffer because of their sin, we ourselves suffer. So what do? We take them to Christ together. And it says, so fulfill the law of Christ. That's what Christ is commanding here. There are some that have wept more over other people's sins than they've ever wept over their own. They feel like their reputation's at stake, and so they have a standard. They've got to go straighten somebody out. No. Here, we bear one another's burdens. You can see in verse 3, Galatians 6, if a man think himself to be something, when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. And I'll keep reading there, verse 4 and 5, but let every man prove his own work. Consider yourself who you are, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. Coming back to my text in Matthew 7, our Lord, giving this illustration, addresses this word to those who think otherwise. He says, thou hypocrite. To think any other way than how the Lord is teaching is to be a hypocrite. It's to if we think ourselves better than another, we're a hypocrite. It's not wrong for us to want to help others that are facing temptation or taken in a fall, but the Lord says there in verse 5, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the speck or mote out of thy brother's eye.
Number 5.
Our Lord is not saying that it's wrong for us to help out a brother with a speck in his eye, but he's saying, first of all, deal with the plank, the board in your own eye, and then you'll be able to approach him humbly, knowing how the Lord has been merciful to you. So the first point here we saw is we're not to judge, but to show discernment. The second point we saw here in verses 3 to 5 is how we show discernment in dealing with others. First, dealing with our own sin and acknowledging our own sin before the Lord, even before we speak to another. But now thirdly, with this final verse in verse 6, here we see how love and discernment are balanced. There's a discerning in love. The Lord says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. In other words, we need to be careful even how and when and where we might advise others with regard to their walk. He's warned us against judgmental attitudes and self-blinded criticism, but at the same time, even when we feel it right to speak, we're to be careful not to just take the things that pertain to the grace of God and throw them at others as if we were throwing it to dogs or swine.
Bible kunena kuti poyamba timainegera kusamanitsa kwambiri ikamala nkula aka kupereka chilangizo chanchiri chonso pakapezeka kulakwa kwakuti chifukwa pali zinthu zina zokudza mulungu zokudza chisomo simene simapereka tingo mwazi ako matungu kungo mwazi ako ayi.
The Lord is saying here that there are some who will never receive good counsel, even though your motive is right in speaking to them and you want to point them to Christ. They're going to lash out like wild dogs, or they're going to take what you say and stomp it like swine. They're going to say, you shouldn't be concerned about me. You should just be concerned about yourself, even though it's in love that you're approaching them. In another portion later on here in Matthew, when it speaks of somebody that's overtaken in a sin or a fault, that you're to approach them privately and speak with them. And if they hear you, you've gained a brother. But if they haven't or won't hear you, it says, take a witness with you and speak with them. It's not that you're trying to be critical, but you're concerned for them. But it's saying that if they won't hear you, even when you tell it to the church, then to consider them as unbelievers because they're not receiving the word of grace.
Mm-hmm.
So here's where we see that discernment is to be exercised in love. In verse 3, when it says, why beholdest thou the mote that is in what? Thy brother's eye. It's speaking to those that are brethren in Christ. They'll hear you. But here in verse 6, it's talking about the religious, self-righteous. Even when Christ spoke to them, they threw it back in his face. They would not hear him. We're to preach the gospel to every creature. That's what it says in Mark 16:15. But when people are hardened and will speak evil of the very gospel, which are called pearls here, what did the apostles do? They shook the dust off their feet and went on. And that's what the Lord is saying here. Don't feel like you have to continue to try to straighten out hardened sinners. No, move on. I hope this has been helpful. I know it has been for me. I need these reminders, but this is what it is to walk in humility before the Lord. In other words, by his grace, we are who we are. And may the Lord, by his grace, teach us. May we see ourselves just as needy or greater in need than anybody else. I'll turn it back to you.
Wow. This is another day that the Lord has made. We celebrate and rejoice in it.
Amen.
What a wonderful ceremony that the Lord gave you today. That's there among the saints. We are fully blessed. To him be glory and honor.
Amen.